Welcome to the QualiTalks podcast, a show about pharma and GMP. The pharmaceutical industry is a fascinating and complex field, and it takes countless people to bring a product to the market. In this podcast, we bring you some of the industry's brightest minds who will share their wisdom with you. And now, please welcome your host, Jan Kugel.
Welcome to the QualiTalks podcast. My name is Jan Kugel, the Managing Director at Qualistry, and joining me today, a friend and the CEO at PharmaOffer, Amar Badawi. Welcome to the QualiTalks podcast. Happy to have you here today.
Thanks, Jan. I'm happy to be here as well.
So we had a chat a couple of years ago. So we did a podcast episode where PharmaOffer was not at the complete beginning, but it looks completely different nowadays. It developed so much, and it's so fun having you here today to discuss the digitalization in the pharma industry and just to hear where we are heading in the API market. So Amar, so PharmaOffer is a marketplace for APIs. So basically you offer there a platform where API manufacturers can showcase their products and pharma companies and CDMOs can find the best products that they need for their manufacturing. So through those years, so between the time that we spoke last time, like what changes or what trends do you see in the API markets? Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I definitely think it's exciting. I think what changed is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe the pandemic came in between or after last time that we had the podcast. And I would say that have really changed a lot for us. I remember when we started PharmaOffer, we really thought that we needed to have meetings with all the companies we wanted to convince of using our platform. Because yeah, that's the way how you get in contact with companies. It's so much based on personal relationships that physical meetings are necessary. But since the pandemic, it went actually so quick. How common it is right now to have a video call, for example, even for very traditional companies. So I think that's an example of digitization in the pharmaceutical industry, which went basically quite quick. And also because there was limited flights during that time, and also exhibitions. So that basically helped to for us a lot to grow the company much quicker, because a lot more companies realized that they needed to digitize in order to get in contact with new clients and to showcase themselves.
Right. And in terms of what's happening in the market of the APIs as well, so you probably have quite interested analytics, which maybe you can share. So do you get some insights by understanding what APIs are needed to also understand where the market is headed or what medicine is the most popular right now, or what's happening in the world in terms of the need for different medications? Is this something that you can understand from your analytics?
Yeah. The interesting thing about analytics is that usually you have data about the sales of a certain medicine or based on logistics, for example. But in our case, what we see with the data is based on search behavior. And usually when there's a shortage, for example, It starts with that you see an increase on people searching for a certain API. So, for example, during the pandemic, we saw an increase on ethanol, for example, or on dexamethasone, or possible solutions for the pandemic. And yeah, later on, we saw, for example, an increase on Iodium for, you know, when unfortunately there's quite some stuff going on in the world right now. But based on our data, you can sometimes really see what's going on in the world. And I think there's a lot of possibilities there as well. If you can predict shortages, or if you can predict an increase in demand, that can be very powerful for supply chain managers, for example, for production forecasts. So yeah, that's quite interesting.
So this information that you have on supply shortages, for example, so is it something that you already analyze, or is it something that you're planning to do? And how will you involve, if yes, if you will analyze it, how can you also share it with the pharma world and help them make the right decision? Is it something that you're working on?
Yeah, so we work a lot with data, but we have basically two types of data. We have the confidential data. That's something that we will never share, but that's more related to contacts between several companies, communication, etc. But most of the data is regarding about behavior. That was the example that I just gave. We share this data with the suppliers on our platform so they can learn based on the data of their product portfolio. But I would say right now that's more marketing related. So they can see whether there are trends going on their APIs, from which type of companies, where in the world, etc. For really supply chain predictions, I would say we have just started, and we will develop there to help the industry with the information that can help them further. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So I think that would be a nice conversation for us for the next CPHI. Which, yeah. It's like a tradition for us to meet at every CPHI for dinner and just discuss what's going on in the pharma world and the digital world. So last year, we had a very interesting project where we interviewed CDMO, directors in various CDMOs and CMOs, and people in business development there, and shared very interesting explanatory videos about what is a CDMO, what they do, how to choose them. And it was a very interesting project to do together. And now you started also on your platform to offer a search for CMOs and CDMOs. So it was, I think it's something quite new, because I seen it pop on LinkedIn, and I wanted to ask you, how is it connected with your initial offering of API Marketplace, and where did you see the need for it? How, and what does it, whom does it help, and how does it work?
Yeah. This is indeed a service that we have recently introduced on PharmaOffer. As you know, PharmaOffer has always been focusing on the API market, and that's also something that we were always quite proud of, that we had so much focus and to solve the challenges in that market. A while ago, we did research to CDMOs together. We made a video, which I really like to do. But that was that interest in the first place mainly came because so many manufacturers of APIs also act as a CDMO or a CMO. And that makes sense, because when you produce APIs, you have production facilities. And when you have production facilities, it's nice to have your own product portfolio, but it's always interesting if a potential client come to you and ask you, like, hey, I know you have these machines and area. We want to produce this product. Can we do it? Can you produce it white label for us? basically all manufacturers are open for that. So that was something we realized, and also that many of our clients, the suppliers who are listed, asked us, like, hey, can we also promote our CDMO activities? And at the same time, we have buyers on the platform searching for an API supplier. But then at the same time, they asked us, like, hey, I'm located in Italy, and I'm looking for a partner who can help me produce this this product. Can you suggest some companies? And during that time, we were manually suggesting them, like, okay, we know that this company is nearby, they are certified, etc. Maybe you should contact them. And we made the introductions. And it happened so many times that we thought, like, why should we not include it in the platform? And with Pharma Offer, we always believe it's so important to have a very user-friendly environment. And I remember when I started to work at a pharma company, we also needed sometime a partner who can help us doing this or that. But to be honest, during that time, I didn't know it was called a CDMO or a CMO. So I think that even if you don't know what a CDMO is, but you need one, then still you should be able to find one. And yeah, I think there was a huge opportunity to help people who are looking for a partner that can help them further to do that on Pharma Offer as well.
So is it something that is mostly relevant for biotech startup companies that just starting up and want to take this to the clinical trials and they're looking for the right partner?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most obvious companies or people that are looking for a CDMO, but I would say it's not only for them. Basically, all pharma companies are dependent also to work in partnerships, whether it is when they have production problems or don't have the right capacity or don't have the right machinery. It happens so many times that you just want to have a chat with another company and see, like, hey, can we work together here? Maybe even just temporarily. And I think that's also the interesting thing. Many multinationals in the pharma market are also a CDMO, but basically also a lot of small pharma companies with maybe 20 or 50 employees, they also have something to offer in that space. So I would say all pharma companies that have production facilities or clean rooms have probably some kind of service to offer to the market. And then I think it's important to help them by showing what they can.
Right. And how many CMOs, CDMOs do you have listed right now on your platform?
Right now we have 200 CDMOs listed.
Oh, wow. That's already a nice number.
Yeah, and we started 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. But I would say we're still at the beginning there. Of course, many of our clients that manufacture APIs was the easiest for us to onboard them as well as a CDMO. Not only because we have the connection already, but also there's a relationship. So it's helpful for us to learn from their experience as well. And that's also how we started it. First, we talked to our clients and we try to listen very carefully, like how do you distinguish yourself from other CDMOs? What type of clients are you looking for? How is it going right now? How do you think it should go? We ask a lot of questions and based on their feedback, we created a minimal viable product. And from there, we're trying to improve that, and that's of course a long process because you're never done with improving a tech product. but it's important that you at least start and learn along the way.
Right. So that sounds very promising. And do you have the number of how many CDMO companies are there in the world? Like, what is the potential there?
It has even a bigger potential than the API market, because like I said, nearly all API manufacturers are CDMO already. Plus, we're not focusing on CDMO only. We're focusing on contract services in general. So that can also be a CRO, a contract research organization, but it can also be a repacking company or even a consultancy company, as long as it is quite clear to us like what the service really entail. And also the interesting thing for the companies is that the contracts usually are quite big. If there's like a real partnership, then it's usually also a long-term partnership, and the value of it is higher as well. So right now we're also still trying to find out what contains all in these contract services market.
Right. Cool. So I hope we have people from CMOs, CDMOs listen to this podcast and they can check it out, and maybe they can contribute to your database of these amazing partnership opportunities. So it's also interesting that during this pandemic time, a lot of platforms broke out. And there is a lot of offerings right now because pharma companies, although they were used to be quite conservative, and when you wanted to buy something, a material, you probably had to pick up the phone and just start calling companies, asking them to send you documents and COAs and what are your certification. It was a manual process, right? And now I believe it in your website, you can directly see all the documentation. You can see who is certified. It makes life so much easier. But it requires data sharing. So do you feel that right now, especially after the pandemic, companies are more accepting to sharing data and being part of bigger platforms and being listed there? And what were the challenges at the beginning, if there were as such, to convince companies like API manufacturers, CDMO CROs to come to be listed on your platform in those terms?
Yeah, I think it's always a big deal for a pharma company to share information. And in many cases, they also might see it as a bigger deal than it in reality is. But what I mean with a big deal is that it's usually not a decision that is made by one person. So there are a group of people that decide, hey, do we want to be publicly available here and there? But the reality is that we don't ask for a lot of confidential information. Of course, we want to know how the company is certified, but that's usually something that they're also proud of, and it's not a secret. What we focus on with Pharma Offer is that we try to give the company a face. So in this market, a lot of relationships are built over the years. It's a very personal market, I would say. That's why also the exhibitions are so important, because there you can further grow the relationship, and that's really important. And we also agree to that. If you really want to build good business, it's important that there's a level of trust with your client or supplier, that you meet each other sometimes. So I think that's definitely important. But what we do is we try to help companies connect with the right companies. So really at the beginning. And then it's important that you know who the company is without having talked to anyone yet. So if you have a list of companies, which company do you have to contact? That's basically the question we answer. So out of a list of 50 companies, when you have to choose three companies you want to contact, that's how we help companies select the right supplier. So we're not focusing only on how they are certified and in which country, for example, the product is produced, but also more on the soft side. So what are the unique selling points of this supplier? When was it established? How many people are working there? Some pictures, some videos of the company, just to give you an idea who this company is. Even if you never have heard about them, if they are located on the other side of the world, then still it's important that you have an understanding who the company is and how you feel about that before you're getting in contact with them. And so we're trying to make the digital space personal.
Right. So you mentioned the trust, and reflecting on it, I think what you're doing and what we are doing at Qualistory, it has some similarities to it. So we have a more digital platform, all the data is there, and at Qualistory, what we are doing through our knowledge sharing webinars is also allowing different companies and service providers to pharma to take the stage and through educational content showcase their expertise in the areas. And so we don't encourage, of course, direct advertising through our webinars, because this is the point. This is the first touch to share the knowledge and start the personal relationship. So people see the faces behind the logo, let's say. Yeah. Okay. And I think it's very important, and also the relationship that we have with our clients and sponsors of our webinars is amazing, because what we do together through the knowledge sharing and also allowing the pharma experts, pharma employees and pharma decision makers to see the different people who work with various companies who offer similar solution and choose who they think is best to work with, and they then can go and research more about those companies and decide whether their products fit them, for example, right? And so we have the digital solutions, right? So we have the platform, we have the webinars, and then there are the exhibitions, which are also very important, the personal touch. But as we both of us are working the digital world, right, we are doing the webinars, you are doing the digital platform, so how do you see the shift in this mentality and what is the balance there between the digital interaction and still the need to go to exhibitions and shake hands? How do you see it, the difference, and what is more powerful at the moment, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really not a matter of choosing one. So if you do only digital, I would say invest also more in personal relationships and meeting people, and also the other way around. But what we see is that the people within pharma companies, the decision makers, they're getting younger. So when we started PharmaOffer in 2016, we saw that half of the people using PharmaOffer was below 30 years old. But that's 7 years ago. So these people, they've also grown to more senior positions. We're really doing good on also the younger generation, people underneath the 45 years old. And that will further grow. That's a fact. Something that I don't understand is that when I have a meeting with a pharma company at their facilities, I always feel so welcome. So when they receive me, People are friendly. I get coffee, or they invite me for a lunch. It feels so good to meet people face to face and build the relationships over there. But then if I look, for example, to their website, it feels like a very cult company. So I don't recognize the company at all by looking to their website. And with Pharma Offer, we are checking 10,000 of websites because we verify all the users on our platform. And many websites, to be honest, look quite the same. And it's quite difficult to understand based on the website who the company really is, what their values are, who the people are working for the companies. It doesn't match in many cases with the people. And the strange thing is that when I go when I visit them, they're really doing their best, but maybe they have just a few visits per month, but they maybe don't realize that they have hundreds of visits on their website, which is much more than people visiting their company. And that's the first impression people get on that company. So, I mean, to me, it's fine if you don't spend a lot on your website, but sometimes it feels like companies feel that they can't be too personal on their website. So it should be like a business card and that's it. And that's something something quite different compared with other markets where it's much more developed than in the pharmaceutical industry.
Right. So in many markets, when you go to a website, people want to see that like friendly faces, and in pharmas, for some reason, it's more, especially chemical. So I think pharma, it may be a bit different depending on which website you land. So if you go to a product, then usually the pharma wants to show happy people that you're using their products, right, and healthy. I think especially if you go to chemicals or even software for pharma, it's very rigid. You don't see who is behind the curtain. And I think you're right, because I think also the people who, especially in big companies, the people who design the website and the marketing are a bit disconnected from the people even who are the face of the companies to other clients or business partners. So it's a bit... there is a bit of disconnect there, and I agree with you that a lot changed. So this is also the importance of having a conversation with people, even if it's virtual like we are having right now, but when you see the person live, then in writing, so you see the so that's where the connection made. And then especially when you meet the people right live, so the magic is to try to make also the written conversation more lively, more polite, more more friendly. And especially living in Germany, where everything is on a very conservative note, when you have especially business conversation, it's much difficult, I think, to build good relationship there. But I also see the shift there. So I get a lot of marketing messages on LinkedIn, for example, and you already see how the salespeople marketing approach already in a more friendly way. They're like, you're starting using smileys. Oh, maybe we'll have a chat, smiley, which is something that I don't think you would see in a normal email in Germany, right? Usually from people who you don't know. So you see the shift, say, okay, people want friendliness, they want warmness.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's definitely not with all companies. And it, like you said, it's not only about friendly faces, it's also really about the language.
Right.
So when you meet people face to face, the language is friendly. But if you go to their website, the language is very formal and
complicated. And to be frank, when I go to some websites, there is a trend right now. And it's very interesting because I noticed it I just checked. So I love marketing, and the branding. So I've been to website like Coca-Cola just to see what are the trends. And the amazing thing, if you go to the website of Coca-Cola, you won't see anything about drinks there. Everything on their website is about climate and supporting the environment and sustainability. You won't see anything about their product there.
Yeah.
But where is the problem? I've been to other websites that sell manufacturing equipment to pharma, and their website is a copy paste from Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea what this company that manufacturing this equipment does. And some marketers think, okay, let's just copy Coca-Cola because this is the trend. Let's talk about sustainability. And I think it does matter where you go. Even if you go to some pharma company, you will for sure see sustainability there. But the difference between Coca-Cola and you, that everybody knows who Coca-Cola is and what they sell. But if you're a smaller company and you just talk about sustainability and not about who you are, what you offer and who works there and who are the people, nobody knows who you are. So I've been to several websites and I scroll and I scroll and I scroll. I have no idea what the company sells.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy to see that.
Yeah. No, I see definitely the same. And it's also a bit part of what I just said. Like if you go to a website, companies struggle sometimes by saying in their own way who they are and what they do. So if you see CSR, which is of course important nowadays, but if you just describe it in a very general way, it will look similar at all websites. But sometimes you see companies that are really describing it in a way like what is it really meaning to them, or how is it impacting their production process? It's of course not easy, but I agree. Try to stay away from general. If you only have to think to share general information, then it's better not to put it, because it's just confusing actually.
So I think that's a very good point, because especially if you are a niche brand, right? And I know that everybody wants to show that they want like sustainability, but it's not, you know, it's not what you are. It's not who you are. So of course it's important for the world, but it's not showing who you are and what. Yeah. So I think what's a lot of those websites are really missing is the people behind it, the stories of the people, what they want to achieve. And I think also a lot of companies have, the standard strategic value that they use big words on their website. We strive for greatness. So a lot of big words that mean nothing, right? But it's not something that drips to every employee. So it's not the real values of the company, and people can understand that it's like similar. So I think it should be like more personal stories about what you stand for, what you offer, what your products, like why are you doing this, like what's behind this, why are you manufacturing this equipment, what brought you to manufacture this API or this raw material or this drug. It's like, you know, what is your goal? You want to help people worldwide that suffer from this. You want to help them, and how do you do it? You manufacture this, but then you do it with good quality, and then if you do it like this, also the employees will understand that they have this mission to do something good, and they understand. So working in quality myself for many years, you see people doing their job because it's in their job description and because it is the task they're given, this is the project, but they forget like what is the end product, because manufacturing a medicine, it's so many processes. People don't think, okay, there are like logistic people, there are buyers who need to buy an API. They need to choose which API fits the most. So there is only by choosing one API manufacturer, there is so much behind it, like so much, like you need to think about where they sit. What happens if suddenly, there is a pandemic and the boats cannot leave the harbor? Do you have a replace? Do you have a secondary API manufacturer? And then you have the people on the ground, and you have the logistic people in the warehouse who need to do GDP, and you have the quality manufacturer. There are so many going on there, and everybody does a small piece of it, and they forget like why they do it, why the quality is important, why, you know, being real and true, and really, you know, when you have issues, really doing the root cause analysis and not just signing off, that's nothing. Because at the end, you know, remember, you know, the patient at the end, that's the market we're in, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I've always found that also a bit difficult, to be honest, that in the pharmaceutical industry, like the industry that we are active in and our clients are active in, to be honest, you're quite far away from the patient, right? I mean, companies that produce a medicine, they have in mind the patient that they want to help, but the reality is that they are working probably on an industrial park in a manufacturing plant. Once the product is produced, it goes to a warehouse, to maybe a different warehouse, to a pharmacy, to the patient. So it's quite far away from the people working in the industry. So I do understand why many company visions are quite general. For example, we want to create a better world with the highest quality, this. But it's an interesting challenge as a company to be more, to think further than just we want to create safe medicines for a better world. There should be a challenge in it as well, or something extra that you want to achieve, because otherwise all companies have the same vision. And that's also what we see a lot. So it's quite rare to find a company who is quite specific in who they say they are and who they say who they want to be. But it is for people working in the company, it's very refreshing if there is a clear goal where you want to go to, instead of keeping it very general.
But can you, as an API manufacturer, for example, put a very unique vision and goal for your product? Let's say if there are already several companies that manufacture the same thing, do you think it's something that is viable and possible doing?
Well, it's important, of course, to know who you are. Do you want to produce APIs as efficient as possible to make sure that the medicine for patients become more affordable? Or do you want to develop new APIs that are much more efficient for a patient? Or do you want to make sure that from a logistic point of view that your medicines will become available in countries that doesn't have a great infrastructure to get most of the medicine? So I think it's important to choose some kind of direction where you want to be good in, instead of keeping it very general. And if you choose a direction, then it's much more easier to become the best within
that. Exactly. So it's a very good point also in a business perspective, right? So you can compare it to the vehicle industry, right? So each vehicle brand has its own strengths, right? So for example, if you want safety, when you think about safety, usually Toyota pops in your mind, right? When you want speed, right, you think about cars like a Porsche, right? So you need to decide what is your best strength and then strive to it. Like you said, very interestingly, you can say my vision is to you know, distribute it to the third world countries. So we are the best. We have the best logistics. Others say we have the best say supply KPIs. We never late. We are always on time at your doorstep, and we never late with our deliveries. So you can always choose something and find the right clients who find it the most important. Yeah. Right, to be there on time, to have the best quality, to have the biggest quantities, because you say, you know, we can manufacture the biggest quantities in the world because we have such good processes behind and manufacturing equipment. So I think the idea is for companies to look at their strengths and what they can improve, and then become the best in this specific field, in this specific quality.
Yeah. First thing is important is that at least they know it from
inside, right? And then that also every employees knows it, and that's how they
And that's also what we like to see on PharmOffer, because we see it as our goal to show the difference between suppliers. So we want to know, for example, why should you choose this supplier, mm-hmm. Or why should you not choose this supplier? Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're looking for the lowest price possible, then don't approach a supplier who has all the qualifications and is focusing on the highest quality or purity possible. But yeah, we see that in many cases, the supplier doesn't really know what their strength is, or they don't showcase it on their website or in their brochures. And it's also a little bit scary, maybe, because if you want to be sure that you will receive all the leads, you might feel more comfortable by saying, yeah, we can do everything, we're good in everything. But I think in the end it will not bring you the most leads. By being quite specific about your strengths, will bring you at least much better quality leads.
Exactly. So that's a very good point. Again, for every business, especially if there are a lot of competition, then you need to stand out. You don't want to be a commodity, right? So you want to showcase your strengths and say, we don't have this certification, but we have the best this and that, right? So you can always say, find the right market for you. And then it goes also to the people relationship, as you mentioned, because I think when you have even the same two suppliers and they're have exactly the same certification, the same, they're exact, lead the same in terms of capacity and so on, you would choose it based upon who you like more, with whom do you like, who answers quicker to your email, who replies, and who you trust if there are issues, who you trust more to take care of those problems, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. What we usually see when we look to suppliers who are most successful are, I think one of the most important things is responding quickly, but it's also very much about how they respond. Do you just answer a question very shortly when someone is asking for a price, for example, and you just give the price and that's it? If you compare that with someone who really gives you the feeling that you are welcome by asking this question and trying to get in a conversation to learn more about how the company can help you, you feel much more comfortable with it. So I would say speed of response, quality of response, ranking is, of course, very important. and also company reputation. So for example, some companies really like to work with big brands, other ones prefer to choose the smaller companies. So no company is of course the same. Yeah, so there are definitely things that you can do to increase the number of leads, and in many cases it's easier than you might expect.
Right. So what you're saying is, try to establish a better, even in writing, try to establish already a conversation and discussion, and don't see them as just a number there, right? So
yeah.
Try to understand already the need. Yeah. So I think that's a very good and interesting, point in the customer relationship with whom you like to deal better. Right. Do you have any more, tips for, API manufacturers or people who put, their company on your website, CMOs, CDMOs, how to be more approachable and how to increase their chances to do business?
I think being visible is very important. So that's also what you see right now with many companies. So for example, many pharma companies started to create content, sometimes from the company account, but sometimes also the people working from the company do it themselves. I think that is really important, just making sure that you are visible. It starts by making sure that you are visible, but also important is that you are visible at the right places. So for example, you can make content on LinkedIn, but if you have like 20 followers, it will not have a lot of impact. So you need to invest and spend time on growing your account over there. Same thing with Google. So for example, for us, Google is our number one source of getting users. So we have a good Google ranking. So when people are searching for an API or CDMO, we are among the top results. But the same count also for the companies. So just to give you an example, for search engines like Google, it's important that you have, for example, a lot of link building, which means that if for example, a blog on Google is linking to your website, Google thinks, okay, that's good. Your website has a little bit higher ranking now. So the more links to your website, the better. If you look to, for example, the cosmetic market, they are much more online focused. So they easily pay 1,000 euros a year just for a link to their website. That's part of their link building strategy. In the pharma world, this is still really the beginning, I would say. But that also means that it's much more easier to make big steps there. So I would say invest also in your SEO strategy, especially because pharma companies are quite limited when it comes to advertising on their products. It's even more important to invest on your organic search strategy. And of course, make use of platforms. I would say not try only our platform, but as much as possible, try to learn from it and see which performs the best. But yeah, if you see like how much you have to pay for a platform nowadays, it's actually still quite cheap if you compare it with big digital strategies. So yeah, it's of course easy to recommend your own product, but I'm serious, that would be the first thing I would do. It's the easiest way of being present on a place where so many pharma professionals are searching for your products.
Right. So I totally agree with you. So
do you have anything to add on that, Jan?
Yes, so I think that you know, the digitalization is a skill, you said, and it might be at first people may say, oh, I don't want to pay additional fees for this or that platform, but at the end of the day, the hours such platforms and such tools and digital solutions save you, it's like, let's say ChatGPT today, that people use it a lot. Like, let's bring it as an example. It can you can do with it so much in terms of writing content and so on, than having another person working a full day on it. So think about all those platforms, like, for example, searching for the right API. So before, let's say before your platform was there, the buyers had to Google everything, they had to call, probably something they can do like in 1 minute, let's say, for example, on your platform, they would need like 2 days just to do the research, right? Mm-hmm. So all those days, it's nothing, is so much in comparison with the small price that companies pay for different digital solutions, like quality management systems or different tools that help them track deviations or analyze different manufacturing aspects that at first people are afraid to start using because they need first to have the learning curve. How to visit the platform? Or, oh no, I need to input so much information there. So they're a bit thinking, okay, oh, but then I need to like 2 hours to input all the info. But again, you need to do it like one time with some software. You might need, maybe when it's a complicated system that you bring to the manufacturing facility, it might take a couple of months to establish it, but the long run, the 1 year, 2 years, 3 years return on investment is just so gigantic. So I do think that digitalization in every aspect is is coming, and it's growing in pharma. And I think we also see it in big CPHI conferences when we see the small startups that showcase the different solutions, right? So what are your thoughts about the digitalization, where pharma is at, like where we were like 3 years ago, where we are now, and what do you think it will be like in like 2 years?
Well, I think it has been developed a lot in the last couple of years. If you only look to people who have some kind of digital in their job title within pharma companies or innovation or tech or whatever, so it means that companies starting to hire people that need to focus on digitization. Or digital marketers, or anything digital related. So I think that is already a huge step. But for the future, it will go like 100 times compared with what it is right now. I'm 100% sure of that. If you see like the smart people who are also working in this industry. Who are used working with digital tools and also quite fast in getting used to these tools. So the future will be much more efficient for the pharmaceutical industry, and I'm quite excited about that, to see all the possibilities that will come, and also the new things that we right now can't even think about, like how it will look like in a couple of years. But I think it's exciting to see how many startups are working on solutions that are completely new to the industry, and also how fast they can develop. I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Yes. Me too, Amar. So on that note, I would like to thank you for this chat, and I would like to invite everybody to go to pharmaoffer.com and just check it out. I think your platform went through also some facelift several months ago, and just check it out, because I will do it as well, because I'm very interested to see the the development from just API market to understanding the needs of the market and adding CDMOs, CMOs, CROs, and the business, just being the platform where that connects the service providers to the ones who need them in pharma. And I think it's a great thing. And looking forward to our next chat, Tamar.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jan. I really enjoyed it as always, and thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the QualiTalks podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review. If you want to learn more about GMP, please visit us at www.qualistery.com. Stay compliant and see you at the next one.